Welcome to Bandcamp. My name is Dan.
And I'm Jennifer. And this is the podcast where we read banned books to try to find out why they were banned in the first place.
And this season, we are reading The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain. And there will absolutely be spoilers ahead because we're literally reading the book out loud. So everything Jennifer says is going to be a spoil. So if that's cool with you, we're going to jump in 1 second. If that's not cool, head on over to season 4 of Bandcamp and look for episode 1 and get yourself caught up. Also, please feel free to join the discussion with us on Instagram. You can follow us at Bandcamp_podcast. And remember, that's band with 2 N's. We'll put the direct link in our show notes for this episode. And before Jennifer starts reading, let's introduce the third member of our team, our robot, to give us a brief overview of where we left off in the story. And robot, thank you again for your service in the last episode.
In the last episode, Huck discovers the peculiar yet intriguing methods of the 1800s for locating a drowned body, leading him to a fateful encounter with Jim on Jackson's Island. What happens next? You're about to hear it.
So with that being said, let's begin Chapter 9. I wanted to go and look at a place right about the middle of the island that I'd found when I was exploring. So we started and soon got to it, because the island was only 3 miles long and 1/4 mile wide. Okay, good to know the dimensions. We're dealing
again,
with a small
for those
island.
Of you playing along at home, playing a sim. Or a Minecraft. Is that what they do nowadays? Is there a Minecraft version of Huck's Island?
Oh, maybe. Fun. This place was a tolerable long steep hill or ridge, about 40 foot high. We had a rough time getting to the top. The sides was so steep and the bushes so thick. We tramped and clumb around all over it, and by and by found a good big cavern in the rock, most up to the top on the side towards Illinois. The cavern was as big as 2 or 3 rooms bunched together, and Jim could stand up straight in it. It was cool in there. Jim was for putting our traps in there right away, but I said we didn't want to be climbing up and down there all the time. Jim said if we had the canoe hid in a good place and had all the traps in the cavern, we could rush there if anybody was to come to the island, and they would never find us without dogs. And besides, he said them little birds had said it was going to rain. And did I want the things to get wet? Jim's very good here with his logic.
Yeah, except for when he starts believing witches and goblins are after him.
So we went back and got the canoe and paddled up abreast the cavern and lugged all the traps up there. Then we hunted up a place close by to hide the canoe in amongst the thick willows. We took some fish off the lines and set them again and begun to get ready for dinner. So they're really settling in here.
They're like a young couple just moving into their new island getaway.
The door of the cavern was big enough to roll a hog's head in. And on one side of the door, the floor stuck out a little bit and was flat and a good place to build a fire on. So we built it there and cooked dinner. We spread the blankets inside for a carpet and eat our dinner in there. We put all the other things handy at the back of the cavern. Pretty soon it darkened up and begun to thunder and lighten. So the birds was right about it. Directly it begun to rain, and it rained like all fury too. And I never see the wind blow so. It was one of those regular summer storms. Oh, that actually sounds nice. I would love a summer storm. We'd never get any weather out here. It's just drizzle.
Yeah.
It would get so dark that it looked all blue-black outside and lovely. And the rain would thrash along by so thick that the trees off a little ways looked dim and spiderwebby. And here would come a blast of wind that would bend the trees down and turn up the pale undersides of the leaves. And then a perfect ripper of a gust would follow along and set the branches to tossing their arms as if they was just wild. And next, when it was just about the bluest and blackest, it was as bright as glory, and you'd have a little glimpse of treetops, a plunging about away off yonder in the storm, hundreds of yards further than you could see before, dark as sin again in a second, and now you'd hear the thunder let go with an awful crash, and then go rumbling, grumbling, tumbling down the sky towards the underside of the world, like rolling empty barrels downstairs, where it's long stairs and they bounce a good deal, you know. Jim, this is nice, I says. I wouldn't want to be nowhere else but here. You know, that's, we were just saying that. This would be great to be in his shoes here.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Pass me along another hunk of fish and some hot cornbread. Well, you wouldn't have been here if it hadn't have been for Jim. You'd have been down in the woods without any dinner and getting most drowned too. Dat you would, honey. Chickens knows when it's gwine to rain, and so do de birds, child. Okay, so that's Jim's accent. I apologize so much. Oh, jeez.
Robot, do not go anywhere. This is an emergency.
I can do it if it's short. Bear with me. Okay. The river went on raising and raising for 10 or 12 days, till at last it was over the banks. The water was 3 or 4 foot deep on the island in the low places and on the Illinois bottom. On that side, it was a good many miles wide, but on the Missouri side, it was the same old distance across, a half a mile, because the Missouri shore was just a wall of high bluffs. Daytimes, we paddled all over the island in the canoe. It was mighty cool and shady in the deep woods, even if the sun was blazing outside. We went winding in and out amongst the trees, and sometimes the vines hung so thick we had to back away and go some other way. Well, on every old broken-down tree you could see rabbits and snakes and such things. And when the island had been overflowed a day or two, they got so tame, on account of being hungry, that you could paddle right up and put your hand on them if you wanted to. But not the snakes and turtles. The ridge our cavern was in was full of them. We could have had pets enough if we wanted them. Well, why wouldn't you want a pet? I want a pet bunny so bad.
What if it was a pet snake? I bet you would like a pet. You know what I want to do on our Instagram? I want you to show Bean.
Bean, he is a reptile, but I don't know if he loves us, but he's a special little guy.
He loves you enough to take your crickets and whatnot.
One night we catched a little section of a lumber raft, nice pine planks. It was 12 foot wide and about 15 or 16 foot long, and the top stood above water 6 or 7 inches, a solid, level floor. We could see saw logs go by in the daylight sometimes, but we always let them go. We didn't show ourselves in daylight. Another night when we was up at the head of the island, just before daylight, here comes a frame house down on the west. A house? She was 2-story and tilted over considerable. A 2-story house.
Yeah.
Is this a normal occurrence?
Yes, of course. You don't know anything of the Midwest, Jennifer. This happens all the time.
We paddled out and got aboard, clung in at an upstairs window, but it was too dark to see yet, so we made the canoe fast and set in her to wait for daylight. Okay, so wait a minute.
Are they paddled in the house?
They took the canoe and they paddled out to this house?
Yeah.
And they got inside it, but they couldn't tell anything about the house because it's dark. The light began to come before we got to the foot of the island. Oh, wait. So what's going on now? Now they're going to the foot of the island? I thought they were in the house.
Maybe the house is floating down to the foot of the island.
Oh, okay. Then we looked in at the window. We could make out a bed and a table and 2 old chairs and lots of things about on the floor. And there was clothes hanging against the wall. So they got a whole house.
Jennifer, they got a fully furnished house.
I know, it's turnkey. There was something laying on the floor in the far corner that looked like a man. So Jim says, "Hello, you." But it didn't budge. So I hollered again. And then Jim says, "The man ain't asleep. He's dead. You hold still. I'll go and see." He went and bent down and looked and says, "It's a dead man. Yes, indeedy. Naked too. He's been shot in the back? I reckon he's been dead 2 or 3 days. Oh, that's got to stink. They couldn't smell that? It's summertime. I thought it was humid in Missouri.
So picture this. These guys, whoever, that they shoot the guy in the back. We're going to get caught. Move the house to the river.
They just push it in. "Come in, Huck, but don't look at his face. It's too gashly." I didn't look at him at all. Jim throwed some old rags over him, but he needn't done it. I didn't want to see him. There was heaps of old greasy cards scattered over the floor, and old whiskey bottles, and a couple of masks made out of black cloth. There was 2 old dirty calico dresses, and a sunbonnet, and some woman's underclothes hanging against the wall, and some men's clothing, too. We put the lot into the canoe. It might come good. There was a boy's old speckled straw hat on the floor. I took that too. So that's where he got his hat. And there was a bottle that had had milk in it, and it had a rag stopper for a baby to suck. I hope these other people are okay. Jeez. It's a whole family here.
I hope they
here.
Don't find a baby floating around.
We would have took the bottle, but it was broke. There was a seedy old chest and an old hair trunk with the hinges broke. They stood open, but there weren't nothing left in them that was any account. The way things was scattered about, we reckoned the people left in a hurry and weren't fixed so as to carry off most of their stuff. We got an old tin lantern and a butcher knife without any handle and a brand new Barlow knife worth 2 bits in any store and a lot of tallow candles and a tin candlestick and a gourd and a tin cup and a ratty old bed quilt off the bed. Oh, God, this is a whole inventory here. And a reticule with needles and pins and beeswax and buttons and thread and all such truck in it. And a hatchet with some nails and a fish line as thick as my little finger with some monstrous hooks on it. And a roll of buckskin and a leather dog collar and a horseshoe and some vials of medicine.
All right, all right, all right, all right, all right.
This is all going to come up later, Dan. Believe me, it's gotta be important that they got that leather dog collar and a horseshoe and some vials of medicine that didn't have no label on them. And just as we was leaving, I found a tolerable good curry comb, and Jim he found a ratty old fiddle bow and a wooden leg.
Absolutely.
End of sentence. The straps was broke off of it, but bearing that, it was a good enough leg. Though it was too long for me and not long enough for Jim. And we couldn't find the other one, though we hunted all around. And so, take it all around, we made a good haul. When we was ready to shove off, we was a quarter of a mile below the island. Okay, so it was floating very slowly. And it was pretty broad day, so I made Jim lay down in the canoe and cover up with the quilt. Because if he set up, people would tell he was a good ways off. I paddled over to the Illinois shore and drifted down most a half mile doing it. I crept up the dead water under the bank and hadn't no accidents and didn't see nobody. We got home all safe. End of chapter.
All right. Because we were just talking about reptiles, Jennifer has her little man, Bean, crested gecko lizard. So he will be joining us. Where'd he go? Why does he jump on?
Do you see him?
Yeah, I see him. He's on your microphone.
Yeah.
There he goes. He's going right up the microphone arm. Bean.
Yeah.
He's very cute.
All right, so. Oh, God, he just peed on the book.
Oh, my God. That's not any way to treat a library book. Bean, he peed on the book?
He pooped on it, actually. It was very viscous. Oh, he's dripping. Let me wipe your butt. I wiped his lizard butt.
This is perfect timing for a pooping and peeing lizard because...
It's time for PPP. Problematic pee. Points to ponder. What, if anything, would be considered banworthy in this chapter?
So PPP, Dan, in that chapter, the N-word came up, which is expected of any book by Mark Twain. Well, I'm not sure about that, but...
What is it? Mark Twain's calling card.
Set in the South. And...
I don't know why they would have a problem with it, but I imagine the Moms for Liberty not being keen about a house floating down a river. I think they'd hate that, because that makes as much sense as anything else they hate.
Right.
Dumb ladies. Let's move on to the next one.
Let's go on to chapter 10. After breakfast, I wanted to talk about the dead man and guess out how he come to be killed, but Jim didn't want to. He said it would fetch bad luck. And besides, he said, he might come and haunt us. He said a man that weren't buried was more likely to go a-haunting around than one that was planted and comfortable. It makes sense. People still believe that.
There's just some things people will never understand.
That sounded pretty reasonable, so I didn't say no more. But I couldn't keep from studying over it and wishing I knowed who shot the man and what they done it for. I think that's very natural.
Would you live in the house if you found a house floating down a river?
I prefer the house to the cave.
But what if you pushed it down to the beach?
Yeah, that would be nice. Beachfront. We rummaged the clothes we got and found $8 in silver sewed up in the lining of an old blanket overcoat. Nice. It's a score. Jim said he reckoned the people in that house stole the coat because if they'd have known the money was there, they wouldn't have left it. But I said I reckoned they killed him, too. but Jim didn't want to talk about that. Now you think it's bad luck, but what did you say when I fetched in the snakeskin that I found on top of the ridge the day before yesterday? You said it was the worst bad luck in the world to touch a snakeskin with my hands. Well, here's your bad luck. We've raked in all this truck and $8 besides. I wish we could have some bad luck like this every day, Jim. Passive aggressive. Never you mind, honey. Never you mind. Don't you get too pert. It's a coming. Mind I tell you, it's a coming. It did come too. It was a Tuesday that we had that talk. Well, after dinner Friday, he was laying around in the grass at the upper end of the ridge and got out of tobacco. I went to the cavern to get some and found a rattlesnake in there. I killed him and curled him up on the foot of Jim's blanket, ever so natural, thinking there'd be some fun when Jim found him there. Oh, that's not a funny prank.
No.
Well, by night I forgot all about the snake, and when Jim flung himself down on the blanket while I struck a light, the snake's mate was there and bit him. Oh, no.
Oh.
Why would the snake's mate be there? Do they go and find each other?
Yeah.
What is this now? Anyways, Jim's bit by a rattlesnake. He jumped up yelling, and the first thing the light showed was the varmint curled up and ready for another spring. I laid him out in a second with a stick, and Jim grabbed Pap's whiskey jug and began to pour it down. He was barefooted, and the snake bit him right on the heel. That all comes of my being such a fool as to not remember that wherever you leave a dead snake, its mate always comes there and curls around it. I didn't know that was true.
That's not true at all. It's just another one of those fake news stories people like to spread around. Can't trust anything these days, I tell ya.
Jim told me to chop off the snake's head and throw it away, and then skin the body and roast a piece of it. I done it, and he eat it and said it would help cure him. He made me take off the rattles and tie them around the wrist too. He said that would help. Then I slid out quiet and throwed the snakes clear away amongst the bushes, for I weren't going to let Jim find out it was all my fault, not if I could help it. Jim sucked and sucked at the jug, and now and then he got out of his head and pitched around and yelled. But every time he came to himself, he went to sucking at the jug again. So he's getting drunk so it doesn't hurt?
I thought he was going to pour it on his heel.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought too, but
maybe you do both. It can't hurt to drink some right now.
But every time he came to himself, he went to sucking at the jug again. His foot swelled up pretty big, and so did his leg. But by and by, the drunk begun to come, and so I judged he was all right. But I'd rather been bit with a snake than Pap's whiskey.
Why? Think Pap stole the whiskey, or was he a moonshiner?
He's too lazy to make it. He'd probably stole it. Jim was laid up for 4 days and nights. Then the swelling was all gone, and he was around again. I made up my mind. I wouldn't ever take a hold of that snake skin with my hands, now that I see what had come of it. Jim said he reckoned I would believe him next time, and he said that handling a snake skin was such awful bad luck that maybe we hadn't got to see the end of it yet. He said he'd rather see the new moon over his left shoulder as much as 1,000 times than take up a snake skin in his hand. Well, I was getting to feel that way myself, though I've always reckoned that looking at the new moon over your left shoulder is one of the carelessest and foolishest things a boy could do. Those are the hardest words for me where he makes up a word. Old Hank Bunker done it once and bragged about it, and in less than 2 years he got drunk and fell off the shot tower and spread himself out so that he was just a kind of a layer, so as you may say. And they slid him edgewise between 2 barn doors for a coffin and buried him so they say. But I didn't see it. Pap told me. But anyway, it all come of looking at the moon that way like a fool.
So old Hank Bunker fell off a roof and just turned flat?
Flat Stanley-dist. Well, the days went along and the river went down between its banks again, and about the first thing we done was bait one of those big hooks with a skinned rabbit and set it and catch a catfish that was as big as a man, being 6'2" long and weighed over 200 pounds. What are they going to do with all that fish?
Oh, no.
We couldn't handle him, of course. He would have flung us into Illinois. We just sat there and watched him rip and tear around till he drowned. We found a brass button in his stomach and a round ball and lots of rubbish. We split the ball open with the hatchet, and there was a spool in it. Jim said he'd had it there a long time to coat it over so and make a ball of it. It was as big a fish as was ever catched in the Mississippi, I reckon. Jim said he hadn't ever seen a bigger one. He would have been worth a good deal over at the village. They piddle out such a fish as that by the pound in the market house there. Everybody buys some of him and meets as white as snow and makes a good fry. So yeah, they got a real big haul here. Next morning, it was getting slow and dull, and I wanted to get a stirring up some way. I said I reckoned I would slip over the river and find out what was going on. Jim liked that notion, but he said I must go in the dark and look sharp. Then he studied it over and said, couldn't I put on some of them old things and dress up like a girl? That was a good notion, too. So we shortened up one of the calico gowns, and I turned up my trousers legs to my knees and got into it. Jim hitched it behind with hooks, and it was a fair fit. I put on the sunbonnet and tied it under my chin, and then for a body to look in and see my face was like looking down a joint of stovepipe. Oh, so his face is all hidden inside the bonnet. It's like Q-Bert. So dumb. That's Q-Bert, right?
That is Q-Bert. I think so. I know what you're talking about.
Now I got to look up a picture of Q-Bert. Yep, Q-Bert. I mean, Q-Bert is more of a nose type.
Yeah, his nose.
All right, let's see here. Jim said nobody would know me, even in the daytime hardly. I practiced around all day to get the hang of the things, and by I could do pretty well in them. Only Jim said I didn't walk like a girl, and he said I must quit pulling up my gown to get at my breeches pocket. I took notice and done better. I started up the Illinois shore in the canoe just after dark. I started across to the town from a little below the ferry landing, and the drift of the current fetched me in at the bottom of the town. I tied up and started along the bank. There was a light burning in a little shanty that hadn't been lived in for a long time, and I wondered who had took up quarters there. I slipped up and peeped in at the window. There was a woman about 40 years old in there, knitting by a candle that was on a pine table. I didn't know her face. She was a stranger, for you couldn't start a face in that town that I didn't know. Now this was lucky, because I was weakening. I was getting afraid I had come. People might know my voice and find me out. But if this woman had been in such a little town 2 days, she could tell me all I wanted to know. So I knocked at the window and made up my mind I wouldn't forget I was a girl. End of chapter. What's he going to do about his voice, though?
He's going to do a Mrs. Doubtfire.
Hello!
It's time for PPP, problematic points to ponder. What, if anything, would be considered banworthy in this chapter?
PPP? Yeah. No N-words in there. He did do cross-dressing, though, which is a big no-no.
That is a big no-no.
Probably in Missouri right now, right?
Yeah, it is a big no-no. That's a no-can-do. All these guys who say they hate cross-dressing, why do pictures always come out with Donald Trump at Rudy Giuliani's teat when they're both dressed in drag?
I know. It's weird, isn't it?
We classy. And we sassy, but if you cross us, things may get nasty.
All right, well, we've caused enough literary chaos for today. Thank you for listening, scary book people. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with one person to whom it would add value.
Nasty.
Bandcamp is produced and hosted by Jennifer Davis and me, Dan Schultz. All media used in this production was done so under the protection of fair use.
Nasty.
See you guys next time.
Bye.
Nasty.